You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back. On this week's episode, we're covering Unit 25, Session 3, Jesus' Hard Teaching from John 6. And before we go any farther, I think I may have mentioned this before, Karen, but I struggle with the saying the plural possessive of Jesus.
Or the possessive of Jesus. We have talked about that, yes.
I try to avoid it every chance I get. And so it's every time in these stories when that's the title, I cringe inside. I'm like, oh, I have to say it.
That's true. So
I'm in therapy. I'll be fine. Okay, so what is the big idea of this story or this session with a hard session title because of that possessive?
Yeah, well, quick funny is that we purposefully did that to save space. We're all about saving space, and you know anytime we could do that, it saved a little space. But yeah, so the big idea of this session is that, you know, Jesus, many of his teachings were difficult for people then, and they really are for now, even to understand. And so in this particular instance, people were following Jesus for the wrong reasons. They had seen the miracles that he did, and, you know, they were hungry and they wanted some more bread. So Jesus, you know, reorients them to, you know, encourage them to focus on his teachings. And, you know, this is the story where we get into Jesus, you know, one of those seven I am statements in John that Jesus called himself, or Jesus is the bread of life. And the kid's story in particular gets into the eating of his flesh and drinking his blood that, you know, is the very hard part that in preschool we just said, you know, this was hard. we didn't say that specifically.
Yeah, and that's really the that teaching that when Jesus said you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's what really was hard for people. That's why they started turning away from him. And so, you know, no matter how you get there with preschoolers, I think it's right that we don't use that phrase because they're too literal of thinking. And Jesus did not mean literal eating his flesh and drinking his blood in that moment. So it's best that we avoided that. But still, that idea for preschoolers is that a lot of people didn't understand Jesus' teachings and stopped following him because of that. So we get that on the radar. So the areas of caution, we've already started to get to this, or extra prep time needed. What did Jesus mean when he said he is the bread of life and also that we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Again, I just said it's not literal. That's pretty obvious. He was not proposing that people physically eat his body and drink his blood. Some people think, well, he was talking about the Lord's Supper. It's a sacramental sense. No, that's not what he had in mind here. The Lord's Supper was not instituted yet. It was not offered until the future. That would have totally not been on the radar of the listeners. And remember, he's teaching the original listeners something. So it doesn't make sense that he would use a sacramental sense of that and use an illustration that they had no idea about yet. So that is not what he had in mind. Now, it's okay if you apply that this week, because now that we do know the Lord's Supper, it seems right and fitting that we can draw attention to that and say, hey, this is, you know, we see this kind of in the Lord's Supper. And so it's okay if we use that as an illustration today, but that's not what he said, or that's not what he meant. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to have a teacher saying Jesus was talking about the Lord's Supper here, because he probably wasn't. Instead, I think it's safest to believe that Jesus had this in mind. Total acceptance, full belief. Think of consumption. Think about sitting down to eat a meal. You consume the entire meal. If I'm a guest in somebody's home and I came over and I only just took a little nibble of the food, you would probably suspect, wait a minute, Brian, why you don't like the food? Why didn't you eat it all? There would be this feeling of rejection. If I ate the whole thing, though, with a smile on my face especially, and said, this was delicious, you would feel good because you say, all right, he's accepted my offering. He ate it all. That is kind of what Jesus has in mind here. But he is the object. That's why he says, my flesh and my blood, we have to consume him, totally accept him, completely accept him. So full belief is probably the best way to understand what he had in mind here. So, Karen, is there anything you wanted to kind of add about on that conceptual level?
You know, we were talking, you know, just again, back to the eating flesh, drinking blood as you were talking. You know, in preschool, I mentioned that we didn't really get into that. We kind of ended it with, you know, if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. When Jesus said this, many of his followers said this teaching is hard. Who can believe it? But, you know, I would say, too, even just bread of life is going to be an abstract concept for preschoolers. So you really want to try to build off what they already know. So preschoolers know what bread is, and they know that bread is food. And so you can explain how people needed to eat food to live. And so in a similar way, people need to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. So again, it's still going to be abstract, but we're going to use what they know just to build off of that.
All right, so let's transition then even more into this. Anything a little bit more nitty-gritty and practical about needing extra prep or anything we just need to be concerned about or know about in advance? I'll lead off with one in the Younger Kids Leader Guide. There's an activity called Do You Understand? And there's a note in that one. So you're supposed to come up with some difficult things to understand, some statements and so forth. I believe it gives you a few examples. And there's a note in there, a margin note, I believe it is, that instructs you to research answers and be ready to explain them to the kids. And I think that's good. It's right and fitting we included that. But I also want to go a different direction and say, also, don't be afraid not to do that. Don't be afraid to leave mystery around what you're talking about with those illustrations, because it's helpful that we leave mystery concerning the scriptures. We cannot and should not fully explain everything in scripture. We need to leave tensions at times. We do not know it all. We don't want to present ourselves as know-it-alls. We want kids to know that we too are growing. We too have questions as adults. It's okay for them to have those questions. So that is an activity where, again, I think it would be okay either way. I'm not saying you'd be wrong to provide the answers, especially because some of those questions could be pretty interesting to explain, have some fun conversations. But at the same time, I just want to let you know there could be a teachable moment too in throwing your hands up and saying, I have no idea what this is. I don't understand how this works. Because of those reasons I just stated. So what about preschool, babies and toddlers? Anything that you can think of in there, Karen?
Yeah, well, you mentioned earlier about how, you know, communion, the Lord's Supper, is an application of, you know, this Bible story, even if that's not explicitly what Jesus was talking about to his hearers. But we have an activity where we learn about communion. And, you know, it's important to think about the fact that, you know, if you have preschoolers who, you know, never go to the corporate worship gathering, they're never going to see the Lord's Supper in action. And so this activity suggests even inviting a pastor, if possible, to come and talk to them about communion. But even if, you know, you can't, you can still talk to them about it and maybe even show a video if that's possible, you know, just to help them grasp the gravity of the Lord's Supper. And then too, if you can get a pastor to come, it's always great for little ones to get to see, you know, their pastor up close and personal. It's really great for them to be able to have, you know, that FaceTime with them. So I would really encourage you to do that.
Let me just add in here a warning I always try to get on the radar. Whenever we're done with the Lord's Supper and kids ministry, and especially preschool ministry, because I've seen this, I've seen a lot of kids ministries where they will celebrate the Lord's Supper in some context. And I always have to throw up a caution to that for two reasons. One, you want to make sure you communicate with your church leadership, however your leadership is structured, pastors, elders, deacons, whatever your leaders are, and confirm with them the theology of your church for practicing and participating in the Lord's Supper. Some churches would say, no, the Lord's Supper is only to be celebrated as one large group, that pockets should not, because the Lord's Supper not only talks about our joining with Christ, it talks about our joining together as a body of Christ. So for a subset of the church to celebrate the Lord's Supper would go against that. So some churches would say, no, we should not be doing Lord's Supper in individual groups, and would not want a kids ministry to do that, or a student ministry or a Bible study class on their own. So just make sure with that. Other churches be great with it. But the other concern for for children, and especially preschool, would be, of course, the theology of who can participate in the Lord's Supper. And many of our churches, if not most, would say it should only be believers. So then you have, it's even more complicated, you know, going and celebrating the Lord's Supper with a preschool group where you may not have any of those preschoolers have trusted in Christ yet. So just use wisdom in that. Because I can just see some leaders, you know, saying, hey, this is a great opportunity. Let's do it. This is not a talk about it. Let's do it. So just talk with leadership about that. Get wisdom on that. Get guidance on that. And I just don't want any leader accidentally stepping into something that they didn't mean to by doing that and not realizing some of the implications of doing so. So anytime we deal with the Lord's Supper, I feel like I want to talk about that caveat. What else did you have in mind for preschoolers in this session?
Yeah, good word. Another is the missions activity for this week and involves salt water, which is inspired by the Great Salt Lake in Utah, and that's where our missionaries are based for this unit. And this does involve a raw egg, but the children are not supposed to handle it. So, you know, be careful about that, but don't be afraid of the mess. It's really, I feel like I always say don't be afraid of the mess with the natural learner activities. So again, you need
to. We're gonna have some the Gospel Project for Preschool t-shirts made up with don't be afraid of the mess.
Yeah.
You know, the tagline on it or something.
For sure. Yeah. You can always clean up a mess, but those kids will have that memory forever and it'll really anchor that. So I want to encourage you to do that. For babies and toddlers, one of the activities is to write on a whiteboard. And we recognize that, you know, there probably are many ministries that don't have a light table. If you do, you're super blessed to have one. But you can definitely make one really inexpensively. I found a tutorial online for making one with just a clear plastic bin and some puck lights, aluminum foil, and tissue paper. And, you know, just making that one time, that one little, you know, small investment, it's going to provide just a lot of fun for your little guys. So I would encourage you to do that. And then with babies and toddlers, you know, typically we don't suggest a snack with them, but how can you teach about Jesus being the bread of life and not taste bread? So the babies and toddlers are, well, I think just the toddlers are eating bread. So you're going to, you know, want to watch closely as they're eating that, you know, make sure that it's, you know, they're not going to choke on it. And of course, preschool is doing that for snack too, but you know, they're used to having a more involved snack. So, yeah.
So you get your allergy alerts, your normal things as always. So just be aware of that. One thing, since you mentioned missions, I think this is a good time also to explain our mission strategy once again, especially maybe somebody who's new to using the Gospel Project. So we include those missions teaching moments. We try to center on a different missionary for a unit. And then a lot of the activities connect with that. But if you're doing your own missions emphasis, if you have your own missionaries, of course, swap them out. A lot of the times, the activity we suggest would relate one-to-one. You know, we may say, hey, write a note of encouragement to these missionaries we've been, you know, talking about in Utah. Well, and it's easy to say no. Instead of writing notes to them, let's write notes of encouragement to our missionaries. This one, you know, with the salt water, it may not be as readily applicable, of course. So you may have to change it a little bit. But just, again, I just wanted to keep our teachers in mind of what our mission strategy is there. And always you have the freedom to swap out for your missions endeavors. So let's talk about what we are excited about God potentially doing through this session. Karen, why don't you go first? What do you have in mind there?
Yeah, like in this Bible story, one of my favorite parts is when the people ask Jesus what work God wanted them to do. And Jesus answers, believe in the one whom he has sent. And I think that often, you know, believing is the work. And I think when we put such an emphasis on application sometimes, which we absolutely should, you know, sometimes we can forget that a lot of times believing is the application because, you know, bringing your beliefs in line with truth is going to inform, you know, just what's happening in your brain and, you know, how you live your life as a response.
Well, and it's those three levels that work together. It has to start with right belief about God. Orthodoxy that leads to rightly loving him, the right emotional response, which we often skip over and forget, orthopathy, but then that leads to right behavior, right conduct, orthopraxy. Those three have to work together. And so the belief, at least initially, has got to undergird the other two. You can't have right feelings without right belief. You can't have right practice without right belief. So after somebody has trusted in Christ, they can work together and kind of go back and forth, and one can lead the others. But at least initially, that right belief has to start it all. So that is a strong application we cannot and should not look past. You're absolutely right. One thing I'm really excited about in this session that God could potentially do is this session hints to us that following Jesus is not meant to be easy. And I want you listening to hear that again. Following Jesus is not meant to be easy. And it's good that we let kids know this. I have heard well-meaning, well-intending people at times present the gospel. Evangelists have done this, and they will do it under this context. Hey, my life was falling apart. Everything around me, you know, was falling apart, and everything was terrible. And so one night I got on my knees and said, God, if you're real, you know, I want to trust you. I want to follow you. And then my life started going great and everything, you know. Or, hey, you got a problem, Karen? Trust in Jesus. He'll take care of those problems. Best of intentions, and there's some truth to that, so I don't want to diminish it too much. But that's not what we see Jesus talking about over and over again in the Gospels. He does say, hey, you want to come to me because I satisfy your deepest need. But also, he was clear to say, you know what? Coming to me is not going to be easy. Here we see it in this hard teaching. He had a crowd, and what did he do? He could have easily said, hey, I've got this crowd. I'm starting a movement. Here, let me give you some sweet reward potential, you know? And he doesn't. He basically chases them off and says, you want to follow me? This is what following me is really like. And we know this he does in other opportunities as well, other occasions where he says, hey, you want to follow me? Consider the cost. You might not have a place to sleep. Consider the cost. You might have to leave your family. Consider the cost. You might lose your life. And so over and over again, we see through Jesus' words in the Gospels that following him is difficult at times. The Bible promises us much more adversity than it promises us prosperity as believers. And so I think it is right and fitting to let kids know this, to be real with them. And we don't have to paint it in a bleak picture, of course. Jesus does love us. There is great things about following Jesus, of course, he even here on earth, purpose and meaning and so forth. But to begin having our kids understand this fairly, and again, that idea of, and also we don't have it all figured out. You don't have to have everything figured out before you trust in Jesus. You never will have everything figured out. That's what discipleship is. It's growing in a deeper understanding and pursuing better understanding, but you're never going to have it all figured out. So this is a great week to be real with your kids, present the gospel in fairness and reality to them so that they understand it is not this Pollyannish, everything is perfect, I need to have it all figured out before I follow him or else I'm a failure. No, be real with them, share your struggles, share your questions, and encourage them in that way. So I've rambled long enough. Let's wrap it up there. I just want to thank you for listening to this week's Leader Training. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschoolers. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.